With your Superhuman News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. What's the best way to brush your teeth? Even dentists and dental associations don't agree. Advice on how we should brush our teeth from dental associations and toothpaste companies is unacceptably inconsistent, finds new University College London research. The study published in the British Dental Journal looked at the brushing advice given by dental associations across 10 countries, toothpaste and toothbrush companies, and in dental textbooks. They found a wide range of recommendations on what brushing method to use, how often to brush, and for how long. Most worryingly, the methods recommended by dental associations are not the same as the best ones mentioned in dental textbooks. There is no evidence to suggest that complicated techniques are any better than a simple, gentle scrub. Moreover, there is little point in brushing teeth after eating sweets or sugary drinks to prevent tooth decay. It takes bacteria from food about 2 minutes to start producing acid, so if you brush your teeth a few minutes after eating sugary foods, the acid will have damaged the enamel. The conflicting messages given by different organizations highlight the need for research into how effective different brushing methods are. Disruption of gut bacteria early in life can lead to obesity in adulthood. Certain microbes found in the gut may protect against obesity and diabetes. A study published by Cell Press today in the journal Cell reveals that these microbes shape their host's metabolism very early in life, and that disrupting them with short-term exposure to antibiotics during infancy can cause metabolic changes that appear to increase the risk of obesity in adulthood. The researchers found that only 4 weeks of antibiotic exposure beginning shortly before birth was sufficient to produce obesity, which lasted well after penicillin treatment ended. Moreover, the researchers demonstrated that altered gut microbes rather than antibiotics cause these metabolic changes. The rest of your Superhuman News is coming up in 60 seconds on the Superhuman Radio Network.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
With the rest of your Superhuman News, I'm Elliot Turton. Researchers identify a brain switchboard important in attention and sleep. Researchers at NYU Langham Medical Center have recorded the activity of individual nerve cells in a small part of the brain that works as a switchboard, directing signals coming from the outside world or internal memories. Because human brain disorders such as schizophrenia, autism, and post-traumatic stress disorder typically show disturbances in that switchboard, the investigators say the work suggests new strategies in understanding and treating them. In the study to be published in the journal Cell, researchers showed how neurons in the thalamic reticular nucleus, also known as TRN, the so-called switchboard, depended on whether the mouse was asleep or awake and alert. TRN cells that controlled sensory input, for example, were far more active during sleep than during waking hours, suggesting that while these neurons block the flow of external information during sleep, they facilitate the flow of information when animals are alert and awake. The researchers say that the new findings suggest that faulty TRN cells may be disrupting the appropriate filtering of information in these conditions, and that mapping brain circuits and disrupting their pathways will hopefully lead to new treatment targets for a range of neuropsychiatric disorders. Next-generation sequencing shakes up genotype-phenotype correlation. With the ability to use next-generation sequencing technology, researchers have a broadened understanding of the association of genetic changes in disease causation, driving new discoveries, said clinical geneticists from Baylor College of Medicine in Houston and the University of Montreal in Canada. In the paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the authors note that it is now the genotype, not so much the phenotype, that drives detection of disease. As the cost of next-generation sequencing continues to drop and is used more often, scientists are observing a greater resolution and sensitivity how subtle gene changes may be associated with unique disease presentation. This has been your Superhuman News Update. I'm Elliot Turton for the Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, or chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water, and it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, I'll be joined by my co-host Ken O'Neill for the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show, Towards the Science of Consciousness, where we will also be joined by Dr. Alfred Kozniak. Later in the show, Dr. Sean Davies is going to join us to talk about the introduction of a modified gut bacteria that can actually inhibit obesity. You know, we started talking about the microbiome on this show, I don't even remember how long ago, but it is becoming one of the most exciting areas in emerging science today. Just want to remind everybody, Divine Nutrition has an amazing whey protein product, and my audience exclusively can save 40%. That's almost half off. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Divine Nutrition banner ad, use the coupon code CARL40, C-A-R-L-40, at checkout. So check that out. Ken O'Neill, how are you?
I'm good, Carl. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Why don't you do the honors? Someday I want you to introduce me, Ken, because you do such a great job at it. But first, would you please introduce Dr. Kozniak?
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Kozniak. A thread that's been running through our episodes, I think, was interestingly expressed by Michael Murphy last week in considering that there are two camps, two armies in contention for the truth, for reality. Dr. Bortz, a couple of months ago, characterized its current state of medicine as current medicine versus an emerging new next medicine. And for our purposes, that emerging new is an evolutionary step. Dr. Kozniak, 20 years ago, and several colleagues established at the University of Arizona the Center for the Study of Consciousness, which in turn spawned a biannual conference towards a science of consciousness, which in my days was attracting at least 1,000 participants every 2 years. And what's important to hold in mind here is toward a science of consciousness, which is on the one hand an admission we're not there yet, despite how much we might think that we have it, in the way that Michael Murphy characterized other aspects of current science as being shackled in golden handcuffs, leading us to luxury prisons that aren't it. On the other hand, toward a science of consciousness embodies to my amazement and gratitude, a recognition that what today's understanding of science understands as normal and what it understands as anomaly, things that we can't talk about, don't want to talk about, would just as soon forget about because they don't fit in the model, say more about the inadequacies of the model than they do the phenomena of life. So in developing the center and its conference and its summer institutes and its other programs, an incredibly visionary act was set loose in the world at the campus of the University of Arizona in Tucson. Al's been doing that for 20 years. He was chairman of the Department of Psychology at the University of Arizona for 8 years. He's been research director of the Life-Mind Institute in Boulder, which works with psychologists, neuroscientists, and world-class contemplatives, with a superstar of the Dalai Lama leading the pack.
Wow.
So that they're taking science in new directions. So I've said a lot, and it's by way of not only excitement, but what a rare individual contributing to a new science, a genuine person of a new renaissance, my friend Al Kosniak is. Good morning, Al.
Good morning. Well, thanks very much, Ken. That's very complimentary. If I happen to see him, I'll let him know.
I should have added humble, just like Michael Murphy was last week. Al, why don't you jump in there and elaborate and tell us about the vision and what's happened over the last 20 years in forging a path toward exploration in new science.
Happy to, Ken. You know, our interest, at least in the West, in consciousness, really has a surprisingly brief history. You know, the term itself really was first introduced into the English language in the 1500s, this Latin word conscius, and at that time meant knowing with, a rather different kind of way of understanding that word than how we use consciousness today. John Locke in 1690, usually credited with, in his essay concerning human understanding, you know, launching the current way of thinking about what consciousness might mean. But it still remains the case that our concepts about consciousness are relatively vague, and we often have a sense we don't know exactly what we're talking about. And it's that fact that really contributed to the more recent 20th and 21st century history of what we now call consciousness studies. Consciousness was really the primary focus of psychology in the late 19th century. People like William James in his Principles of Psychology in 1890, very, very concerned with that, saw it as really the core set of questions for psychology. But then once experimental psychology in the early 20th century tried to bring these questions into the laboratory, they adopted a strategy that they saw as being characteristic of classical, at that time, physics. And so really we're trying to identify replicable common basic elements of at least sensory experience, and really abysmally failed. And that gave rise to the behaviorism that so dominated American and continental European psychology during most of the 20th century until really we get to the 1960s. That's really where my own history comes in as an undergraduate and then a graduate student in the early 70s, doing research on sleep and dreaming, trying to bring those questions that arise out of this, you know, curious phenomenon of what appears to be a being that's unresponsive to anything in the external world, and yet during dreaming sleep, we know so actively engaged in conscious experience, imagery, etc. You know, consciousness as a topic within psychology remained relatively taboo, even during the early part of the 1970s. And I think it really was a combination of a number of things that began to create a rebirth. So one of them was a set of extraordinary developments in brain physiology, EEG, ways of approaching brain anatomy, and particularly the study of unconscious states, coma, anesthesia, sleep, that sort of thing. Another was development of psychological research methods to minimize the unreliability of self-report about phenomenal states, about conscious states. Those were extremely important. Another was a whole set of developments in looking at the brain or neural correlates of consciousness. And here, neuropsychology is especially important, where particular brain diseases and damage to the brain illustrated dissociations between consciousness and behavior that occurred apparently without conscious experience. And then, of course, functional brain imaging.
Bingo.
Yeah, and there
you know,
we
and have. So I want to ask you a question because we have to go into the break. But isn't part of the problem of trying to reproduce this, replicate it, to really make it a science, the fact that we're looking at behavior, which is more a side effect of consciousness than actually an indication of what is going on consciously? Won't brain mapping change everything for us? Hold it. Now hold that thought. I have to take a break. This is good radio because we'll make people hang. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com for a free brochure.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel, clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to QuestApparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. AgeForce has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to this episode of the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with my co-host Ken O'Neill, and we're joined by Dr. Kozniak. I'm sorry about that. I'm really excited about this. I have to tell you why, because the other day, I was in the car with Elisa's niece and nephew, and I said, there will come a time where you'll put a little thing that looks like a bicycle helmet on your head, and you won't have to touch your keyboard, and you'll be able to take your thoughts and input them right into your computer, because they will have mapped the brain so efficiently that they'll know what area of the brain lights up when you do this and do that. And that's when it dawned on me, you know, if I'm working a keyboard and I'm left-handed, I may type a different way than you do, but the impulse in my brain is still going to be pretty much the same. Won't brain mapping, accurate brain mapping, change our ability to look at consciousness more as a science than some amorphous result of human being a human being? I'm sorry about that. I had your mic. Please start again.
Yeah, it's a wonderful and very important question. And I think we have to proceed with extraordinary caution in this, because you know, it's really tempting, especially when we see these, you know, colorful pictures of brain areas lighting up and we see them corresponding to certain kinds of behavioral or self-report measures, to think, well, you know, now we've got a handle on a science of consciousness. Now we can have a third person observable that will essentially take the place of our less precise ways of accessing experience, which is through, you know, self-report of our phenomenology. I think the potential downside of that is a premature jumping to conclusions about what we actually know. Our current state of understanding the brain correlates of various aspects of conscious experience through neuroimaging is really quite primitive. And the major reason for that, I think, is that we really haven't given sufficient respect to ways of actually trying to increase the reliability of those self-reports. Consciousness is a fundamentally subjective phenomenon, right? It's our experience. It's that raw feel of what it is like to be in any particular kind of experience. And if our question is, what are the neural correlates of that and of those various distinctions in our conscious experience, then we're, I think, obliged to better deal with how we operationalize in science indices of that conscious experience. And that's where I think one really important new step that has gone on, and this is relevant to some of what Ken said about the Mind and Life Institute and its work with bringing contemplatives and scientists and philosophers together. The hope there is that if we begin to look at individuals who have spent extraordinary amounts of time in cultivating their ability to stabilize attention, in cultivating their ability to remain in an equanimous state that doesn't, you know, grab onto experience and therefore miss whatever's coming into consciousness next, we may have a better shot at a more accurate and reliable reflection of what that experience is like. And so this whole new area that's called neurophenomenology, really using highly skilled contemplative meditative practitioners as the participants in research that measures various aspects of brain physiology and anatomy while these individuals are engaging in particular practices, I think has some promise. And I think that may be a very important step in bringing us a little closer to what you're articulating, an ability to actually utilize brain imaging as a proxy for particular experiential states, cognitions.
And the states you're speaking of would be like someone who's able to reach a very, very deep meditative state, right?
Right, someone who is highly skilled at it. And, you know, I'm emphasizing that because, you know, we're in an era where you can't turn a corner without running into mindfulness something or other. And often, you know, we mistake what is, you know, kind of the initial stages of that kind of practice, mostly deep relaxation and a little bit of stability of mind.
What about babies? I'm sorry to intervene here.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about babies? I have this theory that vocabulary, the introduction of vocabulary and the ability to articulate is what kind of muddies up our ability to be in that, in those moments where someone says, well, God is in the pauses between thoughts, not in the thoughts.
Yeah.
What about the baby who doesn't have a vocabulary to articulate? Are they not in that state?
I'm going to jump in there. That's a precognitive state.
Okay, so that doesn't rule. That's not in here. What we're
saying. You don't have any orientation to the furniture of the world, to use Barclay's term. But I'd like to interject a couple of compliments, comments here. First of all, I think the mapping has an attendant philosophical presupposition of reductionistic materialism, that the consciousness can be explained by the brain alone. And that seems to be a paradigm that at least some quarters of new science is moving away from.
Mm-hmm.
Second, that the brain may, in terms of William James and Frederick Myers' work, be a filter that works with input to represent that input in our embodiment, whatever that means. Now, the story that I want to tell was the precursor to the 1998 Toward a Science of Consciousness conference in Tucson. I attended a whole-day workshop that Charles Tart conducted on meditation and contemplation. And Charlie's the guy that put altered states of consciousness, transpersonal psychology, Gurdjieff work, a tremendous amount, an immense contribution, and he's still at it in his 70s. I would estimate there were 30 or 40 scientists engaged in consciousness research at that one-day workshop. Now, I went in as a non-scientist, as, you know, a contemplative of sorts, and was astonished, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, by the lack of conscious skills exhibited by those scientists. They were studying consciousness, some of them for decades, but were newbies to self-reflective disciplines. They were really having trouble with basic breath counting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the movement Al is talking about here is a huge movement, not only in science, but in the recognition within scientists to engage in science.
Yeah. Yeah, I think incredibly important points. And one of the reasons why we felt it so important in establishing the Center for Consciousness Studies back in the middle 1990s at the U of A, to really be inclusive of a range of perspectives, including experiential approaches, especially those growing out of contemplative disciplines, as well as culture and humanities, to limit to only third-person scientific perspectives is, I think, to put a set of filters on that is, frankly, inappropriate for the study of consciousness.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. I know, Ken, you have some other topics that you want to move into, so we'll do that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
I bet you're feeling stronger already. So keep listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Whey Isolate is the fastest way to build muscle by flooding the bloodstream with bodybuilding amino acids. Now, Divine Nutrition gives you the best flavors in the world of the best whey isolate available. Divine Nutrition's Whey Isolate comes in pumpkin spice, vanilla peanut butter, or cinnamon bun. You can save 30% off a 2.5-pound jug by using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for Divine Nutrition in Carl Recommends today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Get ready for the ultimate lean mass building pro hormone. Fusion Supplement introduces Trinadrol. You'll see dramatic improvements in strength, huge increases in lean muscle mass, a reduction in body fat levels, and zero conversion to estrogen. Shatter those PBs. Trinadrol is the perfect choice on a cut or body recomp as well as bulking. Snag a bottle of Trinadrol at superhumanradio.com. Click the banner ad in the Carl Recommends section and use coupon code TRENADROL 3-0 and get 30% off.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio with Ken O'Neill. We're joined today with Dr. Al Kosniak. So where do you want to take us now, Ken?
I've got really three questions. I'm going to try to, with two segments left, I'm going to try to combine two of them into the question I'm about to ask. The program, Center of Study of Consciousness and the biannual conferences have been going for about 20 years now, right?
That's correct.
And they've led to other, your work with Mind Life, Zen Brain at Upaya Center, which I would imagine are outcomes. I think that's fair to say. I'm wondering on a bigger scale for this segment, what other things, and you can include discussing those, have been catalyzed by the conferences in terms of interdisciplinarity, transdisciplinarity, new research, new perhaps social activist programs in Alzheimer's care, healthcare, what have you. Go for it.
Yeah. Thank you, Ken. So there are, in fact, you know, several spin-offs, and you know, while we're not averse to taking, you know, some credit for stimulating those through the Center for Consciousness Studies at the University of Arizona, there are, you know, many, many other contributors as well, and this is, I think, really an evolving cultural phenomenon. One of the things that I see as really important in the future are a number of practical applications of what we're learning about consciousness and what its various biologic correlates are. There are, I think as all of us realize, a number of very disturbing manifestations of illness and trauma, things like you know, relatively permanent vegetative states, coma, etc., that the hope is that one consequence of this kind of investigation is better tools and approaches to being of help medically to people who are in those kinds of suppressed states of consciousness. Another that you raise are things like Alzheimer's disease, where while consciousness is not completely turned off, it's certainly obtunded. And that's an area I've been working in also since the early 1970s. And we've got some really interesting intersections going on now between fundamental cell biology investigations of Alzheimer's disease, all the way up through now questions just recently about whether long-term contemplative practice may alter the risk for development of Alzheimer's disease. Very early stages, but not a nonsensical set of questions to ask anymore. So I think those are among the things that are we're going to see developing. One other I'll just mention briefly has to do with you know, some of what our modern technology has wrought for us. We're all veteran multitaskers today. We're on our devices.
We talked about this off the air, actually, didn't we?
Yeah. It's a really interesting domain. And I've been doing some work in we actually got a grant funded by the National Science Foundation for a project we called contemplative multitasking, which sounds like the ultimate oxymoron, but really bringing approaches to, you know, at least initial training of stabilization of attention into the busy workplace where, you know, it's a scenario of constant interruption. And to cut to the chase, we found some very encouraging results in pretty carefully controlled randomized assignment kind of studies. So I think it's another area of practical application that's encouraging.
Well, can you just expand a little bit on some of the results that you're finding? We did a show many years ago where the scientists who came on implied that multitasking can be as damaging to the brain, second only to anesthesia, because our brain is basically half duplex, so it has to choose what it attends to. It's a single CPU type of a thing. Yeah. And so multitasking actually causes a pattern of fragmented thought that can carry into other areas of life. Is that true?
I think it's absolutely true. You know, we've got lots of evidence out there that when we're involved in, you know, we really don't ever multitask. What we do is rapidly shift our limited capacity attention between different tasks. And when we're doing that, it very significantly adversely impacts our ability to recall later what it is that we're doing. Clearly, you know, consequences for any kind of skilled activity where memory is at a premium. It also creates a great deal of distress. Everybody knows that, you know, if you, you know, are in a day at the office where you're constantly bombarded by things that shift your attention and you've got to process multiple different inputs, highly stressful. What we found in our studies is that unique to the contemplative training in comparison to a relaxation training or a waitlist control group, individuals were just as efficient in a complex task that we were giving them. But what we saw is that they actually rested their attention for longer periods of time on doing one thing before shifting to another. In other words, they took that multitasking demand situation and they managed it in a different way, with the consequence being that their report of their sense of emotional distress was significantly lower. And so, you know, our technologies are not going to go away. Most of us would not want them to. But I think we can learn to dance with them in a different way.
Oh, we certainly can, because what you're describing, a control group in such a study might be advanced martial artists.
Exactly.
Who are working in concurrency. As far as the Buddhism is concerned, I think of a famous temple in Kyoto, Sanju San Gendo, that has 1,001 images of Kuan Yin. That's the center of so-called Zen archery, which is actually Tendai archery. The whole iconography of that temple is a state of consciousness that can be doing 1,001 things at the same time with no distraction. It's integral, to use Murphy's word.
Yeah, really smoothly being able to shift from one thing to another. You know, one of the things that really is problematic whenever we're faced with multiple different task demands is our tendency to grasp onto, you know, one experience and kind of tenaciously hold it, not having the skill to let it go. And that's something that's cultivated in whether it's sitting meditation or the various forms of movement, contemplative practice. Those are cultivatable skills.
Very interesting.
Exactly. And I think the distinction to further it is the research subjects are generally randomly selected from the normal population, which from a wisdom tradition perspective would be of unawake, undeveloped people.
I mean, it would be.
So
it would
what
be,
you're
it,
measuring in normality is underachievement of the human potential.
Exactly. It's almost like if you wanted to do a study on sprinters and you took average people who don't run and say, let's look at them. And you need to, if you're going to study this group, you need to study people who've attained the ability to get into a very, very deep.
That's what exercise physiology does, I'm afraid.
What's that?
I'm afraid that's what exercise physiology too often does.
Well, that's what it does. But all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. You're listening to this episode of Transevolutionary Fitness Radio here on Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, or chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water. And it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals, and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, or chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water, and it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals, and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
When it comes to TV, we have one simple question. If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for a great deal. Not only will you find the same channels you know and love for less, Dish sweetens the deal with free HD for 24 months and premium movie channels free for 3 months, including Blockbuster at Home. And of course, Dish is home to award-winning technology like Hopper and Dish Anywhere. Why would you ever pay more for TV? Switch to Dish and see what real value is. Free HD for 24 months. Premium channels free for 3 months. And scores of movies with Blockbuster at Home. Get more for less with Dish. Call Digital TV Dish at 800-290-4860 for details. That's 800-290-4860. Call 800-290-4860. Limited time offer. Separate 24-month commitments and termination fees apply. Restrictions include credit qualification and auto pay and paperless billing. DishNet not available in all areas. Call for details.
When you talk about recovery, one product has emerged as the established category killer, MassPro Synthogen, formulated by SHR's own BPPH answer man, Rob Regish. Synthogen works from the very first dose to help you bounce back fast. It fuels, it feeds, and flat out outperforms anything else on the market. Discover the power yourself by clicking the Synthogen link in the Carl Recommends tab on superhumanradio.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I'll tell you right now, if multitasking is damaging to the brain, I am really in big, big trouble because some days I feel like my head's just going to explode. I'm typing an email. I'm in the break. I get a text message. I feel sorry for these kids today. They're not going to be able to have a train of thought. There's not going to be such a thing as the term train of thought any longer. It's going to be a burst of thought. That's it.
Yeah. It's going to be a train wreck. And that's a good lead into the final question I wanted to ask Al. Because you're describing not only the multitasking, but I would tend to say the new culture of obsession with iPads and iPhones. And I often watch kids that are just obsessed in a manner that they're like an addiction.
Yeah,
and with those devices, and it's got to have a drain on their consciousness. I want to pose this one to Al in terms of his dual background, one that I can relate to in my own experience. Al is both a psychologist and a certified Zen teacher, and in that context, we bring together two worlds, creating a third. And both of those disciplines are concerned with health and well-being and wellness in the world, particularly the Zen or the Buddhist side, that looks upon everyday life as being less than healthy and happy. And by all evidence, well, I always think of James Hillman's work. We've had 100 years of psychotherapy and the world's getting sicker. With the emergence of this new science and art, bringing together science and contemplative traditions, what would you guess, and I don't want to, I'm using a loose word, the impact would be in the context of what I'm doing with trans-evolutionary fitness as a holistic fitness in delivering to the grassroots to promote a renaissance in preventative self-health care?
Does the question
make sense?
Yeah, it sure does, Ken. I think the potential is extraordinary. The work in moving toward realization of that potential is comparably extraordinary. I don't think it's going to happen simply by offering 8-week courses in mindfulness based stress reduction, important as those things have been for helping people with various clinical conditions. I think what they're really going to take is careful examinations of what people who really have a longer-term, stable, contemplative practice, what they're like. Both of you made the point about what we call normality, really a suboptimal state. I'll telegraph real quickly. Interesting experiment published in the prestigious journal Science in 2010 by Killingsworth and Gilbert. They interestingly used the technology that we're talking about. They had iPhones programmed. They go off at random intervals and they just ask three questions: what are you doing? What's going through your mind? Where is your consciousness? And how happy are you? Simple questions. What they found was that almost half the time, pretty much regardless of what people were doing, the one exception is when they were making love, and we won't discuss why people answer their phones when they're doing that. But
really?
they found that nearly 50% of the time, people's minds were on something else. And more importantly, when their minds were wandering, whether it was wandering to pleasant or unpleasant ideas, they were less happy than when they were focused on something at hand. And I think that's very telling, because one of the things that various contemplative practices, sitting meditation, movement-based practices cultivate is that ability to stabilize the mind, to be able to maintain a focus voluntarily before then moving on to something else. And I think, it has considerable application, certainly in education, something I'm very interested in physical cultivation, extraordinarily important, in the world of business and commerce, also very important.
And my interest is in Goleman's area of emotional intelligence, which is probably the substratum to all those.
Yeah.
There's a phenomenon that I noticed, and I actually started noticing it as I shared with Al off the air. I was one of the first agents that McCaw Cellular signed up, because I was already in the IMTS mobile telephone business. And when we started selling the Motorola 8000 and the NEC P9000 handheld phones, I started to notice this, and I see it to a greater degree today. People will hold their phone in their hand and keep glancing at it. They'll turn it over and glance at it, turn it back, turn it over. Like there's a chance they may miss a call. And it's almost like the rat who taps the thing and knows he gets a pellet every time he taps the thing. And it's gotten to the point now where with internet, iPhones, and all the other connectivity features, the people walk around with their iPhones like fixated on them, waiting for something to come in. Have you noticed this, Al?
Absolutely. It's frankly dangerous to walk around my campus today, because not only are people doing that, texting while they're walking, but there are people who are texting simultaneously, listening to music on earphones, riding a skateboard or riding a bicycle. And, I have a colleague who suffered a reasonably serious injury getting run over by one such individual.
Yeah.
So it is pervasive. And it stimulated a number of people to really start looking at. I have a colleague in the information school at the University of Washington in Seattle who's been experimenting in his information technology classes Asking people to, you know, pay attention to what arises in their experience when they feel this impulse to you know, go to their iPhone or iPad or you know, whatever device. And one of the things he finds is that there's a sense of anxiety, you know, what you're talking about. I'm going to miss something if I'm not constantly glued to it.
What about one other thing I want to mention? It's kind of funny, right? So we talk about ancestral health and evolution on this show all the time. So there was a time where we didn't have vocabulary, we didn't have language, we didn't have an appropriate way to communicate. So we probably used our hands a great deal. And so if a dinosaur was coming, you would wave your hands like a nut and people would run. But if you were carrying a boulder, you were ill-equipped to communicate that there was danger coming. Then we developed language and syntax and vocabulary, and now we can articulate all sorts of sophisticated ideas with our hands in our pockets. We've gone backwards now. Now we have our hands on our phones and we're looking down, and it's like all of a sudden we become those cavemen again that if we have something in our hands, we can't articulate any longer.
Well, I think the metaphor is the cloud. We're no longer in shortwave. We're no longer in walkie-talkie. We're in the cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's foggy up there.
Technically and metaphorically, yeah.
Yes.
What do you say, Ken? What do you want to cover in the last few minutes we have to wrap up this interview?
Tell us a little bit about the remarkable work being done at Upaya with Zen Brain.
Yeah, just very quickly, Upaya Zen Center in Santa Fe is my practice and training home. The abbot there, Roshi Joan Halifax, is the person from whom I received Dharma transmission. And it's been very interested as an institution in this interface between science and contemplative practice. So Roshi Joan and I started a series of seminar retreats, which we called Zen Brain. Bringing together scientists who are doing work in the kinds of things we've been talking about today, but doing those presentations in a contemplative context, in a day of periods of meditation practice in the beautiful setting of the Zendo there at Upaya. And so our hope is that, you know, this will be one piece of the way in which we make this kind of enterprise available to broader culture. It's not predominantly scientists who come to these things. It's people, you know, in healthcare. It's people in law. It's people from all walks of life. So I'm very excited about that.
Let me interject too.
No,
that
go ahead.
Go to the Upaya website, you can download each year's sessions as MP3s and listen to them. And the immersion in listening to them is just phenomenal.
You know, Santa Fe and Taos are really considered one of the spiritual centers of the world, are they not?
Sure.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've been there several times. I always just say, someday I'd like to retire in Santa Fe in one of those clay adobes, very Spartan lifestyle. I have a feeling that Spartan lifestyles beget a quiet mind.
Yeah, you know, it's been the intuition historically. You know, the reason why people choose caves and small huts as ways to try to, you know, reduce some of the clutter in our sensory experience. By the way, if you want to get one of those little primitive adobes, I hope you've got a good retirement.
Yeah, I know. They're probably like millions, right? I know. Very, very deceiving. Listen, it's been a really great show. Really great.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you so much for being on with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Take care. Well, Ken, you've done it again. Ken, when are you going to introduce me? One of the shows you have, I want to hear what you have to say about me someday.
Well, you're going to have to call me and have a chat. I mean, I just know you from your public persona and how we interact. I don't know your story.
Yeah, yeah, we will do that.
I go back with Al 16 years. I went back with Murphy 38. Who's on next week? Art Devaney. I've never met him, but I'll know him by the time we're on.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for that interview. You do an amazing job. Thank you so much today, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Carl.
All right. So stay tuned. We have a small commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about modified gut bacteria that can actually inhibit obesity. You're listening to Superhuman Radio because you're smart.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel, clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Worried about making your student loan payments? Don't worry if you're behind or even in default. We can help consolidate your student loans into one affordable monthly payment. No matter how much you owe, we can reduce your payments fast. Call 1-800-875-2104. We can fix your student loan problems guaranteed. This is a government program, no credit check. You may even qualify for the government's income-based program, which could reduce your payment to as little as $5 per month. Call 1-800-875-2104. That's 1-800-875-2104.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
With your Superhuman News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. What's the best way to brush your teeth? Even dentists and dental associations don't agree. Advice on how we should brush our teeth from dental associations and toothpaste companies is unacceptably inconsistent, finds new University College London research. The study published in the British Dental Journal looked at the brushing advice given by dental associations across 10 countries, toothpaste and toothbrush companies, and in dental textbooks. They found a wide range of recommendations on what brushing method to use, how often to brush, and for how long. Most worryingly, the methods recommended by dental associations are not the same as the best ones mentioned in dental textbooks. There is no evidence to suggest that complicated techniques are any better than a simple, gentle scrub. Moreover, there is little point in brushing teeth after eating sweets or sugary drinks to prevent tooth decay. It takes bacteria from food about 2 minutes to start producing acid, so if you brush your teeth a few minutes after eating sugary foods, the acid will have damaged the enamel. The conflicting messages given by different organizations highlight the need for research into how effective different brushing methods are. Disruption of gut bacteria early in life can lead to obesity in adulthood. Certain microbes found in the gut may protect against obesity and diabetes. A study published by Cell Press today in the journal Cell reveals that these microbes shape their host's metabolism very early in life, and that disrupting them with short-term exposure to antibiotics during infancy can cause metabolic changes that appear to increase the risk of obesity in adulthood. The researchers found that only 4 weeks of antibiotic exposure beginning shortly before birth was sufficient to produce obesity, which lasted well after penicillin treatment ended. Moreover, the researchers demonstrated that altered gut microbes rather than antibiotics cause these metabolic changes. The rest of your Superhuman News is coming up in 60 seconds on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water. And it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals, and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
Whey Isolate is the fastest way to build muscle by flooding the bloodstream with bodybuilding amino acids. Now, Divine Nutrition gives you the best flavors in the world of the best whey isolate available. Divine Nutrition's Whey Isolate comes in pumpkin spice, vanilla peanut butter, or cinnamon bun. You can save 30% off a 2.5-pound jug by using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for Divine Nutrition in Carl Recommends today.
With the rest of your Superhuman News, I'm Elliot Turton. Researchers identify a brain switchboard important in attention and sleep. Researchers at NYU Langham Medical Center have recorded the activity of individual nerve cells in a small part of the brain that works as a switchboard,
directing signals coming from the outside world or internal memories. Because human brain disorders such as schizophrenia, autism, and post-traumatic stress disorder typically show disturbances in that switchboard, the investigators say the work suggests new strategies in understanding and treating them. In the study to be published in the journal Cell, researchers showed how neurons in the thalamic reticular nucleus, also known as TRN, the so-called switchboard, depended on whether the mouse was asleep or awake and alert. TRN cells that controlled sensory input, for example, were far more active during sleep than during waking hours, suggesting that while these neurons block the flow of external information during sleep, they facilitate the flow of information when animals are alert and awake. The researchers say that the new findings suggest that faulty TRN cells may be disrupting the appropriate filtering of information in these conditions, and that mapping brain circuits and disrupting their pathways will hopefully lead to new treatment targets for a range of neuropsychiatric disorders. Next-generation sequencing shakes up genotype-phenotype correlation. With the ability to use next-generation sequencing technology, researchers have a broadened understanding of the association of genetic changes in disease causation, driving new discoveries, said clinical geneticists from Baylor College of Medicine in Houston and the University of Montreal in Canada. In the paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the authors note that it is now the genotype, not so much the phenotype, that drives detection of disease. As the cost of next-generation sequencing continues to drop and is used more often, scientists are observing at greater resolution and sensitivity how subtle gene changes may be associated with unique disease presentation. This has been your Superhuman News Update. I'm Elliot Turton for the Superhuman Radio Network.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. So we've been talking a lot on this show for quite a long time about the microbiome, gut bacteria, the good things about it. But most of the discussions that we've had are discussions about incident gut bacteria and its effects. And I've asked lots of the scientists that we've had on the show in the past, you know, this is all great news, but is there a way to kind of seed our gut with good bacteria that could have a beneficial effect on us? And my next guest is here to talk about just such a study, and that's the discussion that we're going to have is the introduction or incorporation of a therapeutically modified bacteria into gut that could inhibit obesity. And we're talking right now with Dr. Davies. How you doing, Dr. Davies?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. And so this discussion is Dr. Sean Davies. I'm sorry. I was searching for your first name. I feel like a jerk. I didn't have it in front of me for some reason. So let's talk about this. Discuss this the research paper that you just published. Talk about the design of the study and so on.
Okay, so what we did is we took a probiotic gut bacteria that perhaps some of your listeners are familiar with, Mutiflora. Its scientific name is E. coli Nissl 1917. And we engineered it, genetically modified it, so that it would express a drug that helps to suppress appetite, and that is an acylphosphatidylethanolamine. We call it NAPE for short. And so we were able to engineer the bacteria so it could make a significant amount of this NAPE, and then we asked the question whether if we then gave this bacteria to, in our case, we gave it to mice. And these mice were being fed a high-fat diet, which normally makes them quite obese and causes them to develop insulin resistance, and they develop, you know, fat in their liver and inflammation and such. So we gave them these bacteria, and what we saw was that the mice that received these bacteria had a reduction in their, compared to the control animals, had less body fat, had lower body weight, had less inflammation in their liver, had better insulin sensitivity. And then the important thing is, after we stopped administering the bacteria, we watched what happened. And what we found is that for a significant period after we had stopped giving the bacteria, there was still this protective effect. So there was, these bacteria were, you know, could live in the gut and continue to produce this drug for quite a significant period of time. And this suggests that we can use this strategy of, as you said, of seeding the gut with therapeutic bacteria as a way of treating, you know, many chronic conditions, including obesity.
Now, these the little mice, they ate less, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this microbe produces a metabolite that somehow affects satiety, right?
Right, and so we chose the compound that they're making is something that your GI tract, the small intestine, actually makes in response to a meal. So essentially what we're doing is we're boosting the levels of that particular product by using the
bacteria. I wanted to get at this because you're referring to this as a drug, but the reality is that this goes on in our bodies now, but maybe not to this degree once they were supplemented with this particular microbe. So do you feel that the effects on obesity were directly a result of the reduction in energy intake, or was there also some extrinsic value to this microbe in the gut?
So we did some studies where, since we could measure the amount of food intake, the number of calories that the mice were consuming, we did an additional set of mice that were given only that amount of calories. So those mice had fairly similar effects as the ones that were receiving the bacteria, but not entirely. So we know that a lot of the effect was due to the reduction in food intake, but additional parts of the effect were due to increases in fatty acid oxidation and some of the other responses. So it's not just the reduction in food intake that's driving it, although that certainly was a major part of it.
Now, was there an extrinsic effect? So there's the extrinsic effect. That's what I was looking for. So was there also a potentially extrinsic effect on other risk markers for metabolic disease, like dyslipidemia and insulin resistance, that could be identified outside of just the reduction in energy intake?
Well, so for instance, when we look at the liver and we look at the sensitivity to insulin, what we found was that the liver, for the sort of low levels of insulin that are normally made in response to feeding things, there was a greater sensitivity. So, you know, outside of just what we're seeing on food intake, clearly, at least in the liver, there is this improvement in the insulin sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, really a fairly critical feature. This is one of the big problems with obesity is this resistance to insulin.
Absolutely.
And eventually, of course, the development of type 2 diabetes.
Now, I once made a comment during a discussion about microbes in the gut, and I don't remember what show it was, but I said jokingly to the scientist that I had on the show, it's almost like our microbes create the desire, and we're the legs, we're the machinery that the microbes need in order to go and get that food and stick it in our mouths. And she laughed and she said, well, that may not be that far-fetched. And then a recent study, which my good friend Adele Musa wrote about in Subversity.com, shows that the types of microbes you have in your stomach may actually cause you to hunger for certain foods, which says to me that these microbes, want to live and they need certain things to live. And so they somehow influence appetite, but not just appetite, but the selectivity of the foods that we choose. So is the opposite true as well in this case, in that these microbes that you seeded these little critters with actually would be upregulated if we had a propensity of a type of food in our diet? Do these microbes prefer certain things, and do they do better in environments where the host is eating certain things?
So that's an interesting question. So I should say that, of course, because these are engineered microbes, under normal circumstances, no one would have these. You'd have to be given them to have them. But it is very clear that our diets have very significant effects on the type of bacteria that are in our GI tract. So, I mean, if you switch from a diet that, you know, is high in fat to one that is high in dietary fiber, high in vegetables and such, clearly that changes the type of bacteria. So you're kind of asking kind of the reverse question: can the bacteria
be influenced,
drive changes in the diet? And, that's an interesting question. I certainly don't know the answer to. One of the things that we want to look at with our bacteria, with these engineered bacteria, is what happens to the preference for, say, either a high fat, one that's high in sucrose or fructose, or what are the effects? Because clearly, if we are somehow able to blunt that desire for very calorically dense types of foods, we would expect it to have a significant benefit.
I want to take a break. This is spinning so many good questions in my head. This is really, really great. We're talking right now with Dr. Sean Davies. We're talking about the introduction of a therapeutically created microbe into the gut that may inhibit obesity. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country to eat genetically modified foods without knowing their GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. By the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water. And it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals, and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel, clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you can purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Okay, was geht ab? Guten Morgen, es ist 7:30 hier auf
Week
at Soul FM. Und ich habe hier einen heißen Track für einen heißen Tag.
We're talking with Dr. Sean Davies. We're talking about a modified gut bacteria that can inhibit obesity. This is very exciting. Okay, I guess getting back to what I was trying to articulate before, but I did a very, very poor job of it. The N-acylethanamide, N-A-E, however you want to, I can't pronounce that. I'm just going to fall apart. Okay, the N-A-E. It's naturally produced in our gut or in our intestines currently, correct?
Right.
Okay. One would have to assume that there are microbes in there that are doing that, right?
Oh, no, actually... I mean, that may be the case, but no, the actual cells of the small intestine, the human cells, are the ones that are synthesizing it.
Okay.
Now, we actually have some preliminary evidence that suggests that perhaps some bacteria, besides the engineered ones, are also making some of it, but certainly very significant amounts are made by the actual human intestinal cell.
Now I got it. Okay. So I misunderstood. So I thought there was already a microbe in the gut that was doing this, and what you did was you facilitated producing them in the lab and then giving them to the little mice. That's not the case at all.
Right. So what we did was when we engineered them, we actually put in a gene for making an enzyme that actually makes that product.
Okay. Okay. All right. So with this results that you've gotten now, what would you go to maybe something like a pig model study, or do you go to humans with this type of a study? And obviously... I guess a lot of people aren't aware of this, but we have E. coli in us now, but because of the media, everybody thinks that E. coli kills people. There are some E. coli that do kill people, obviously.
Right, and I think this is a really important point. So there are many different strains of E. coli, and most of them have no harmful effect. Maybe some of them are beneficial, in particular, like the one that we are using. As I said, it's... in Europe, it's sold commercially as Mutaflor, and it's been used for nearly a century as a protection against traveler's diarrhea and for inflammatory bowel disease. So there are certain strains of E. coli that do produce these endotoxins that that cause very significant diseases, but those are very, very few strains of E. coli do that. Most of them just live happily in our gut, and they're just part of our normal gut flora. And,
yeah.
They're not disease causing.
Yeah. It's important to understand that. So, do you go to a human study now? Do you go to a pig study? What do you do?
Well, actually, we'll move up first just to rats, which is maybe a small step. Before we would go to human studies, we would need to further modify the bacteria, just because we've inserted a gene into these bacteria, and so then that raises the question: they're modified, they're producing large amounts of this compound, so they get treated a little bit differently. And so one of the things that the concerns would be is, since they aren't just a wild type bacteria, then the question about if they are transferred to other people, mm-hmm. would that have some kind of negative consequence? Now, in the lab with mice, it's very easy to control the bacteria. I mean, the mice are in cages, and we can sterilize the cages and such. But with humans, that would be that wouldn't be possible, and so we have to actually modify the bacteria so that they're not easily transmitted from person to person.
So
we still have to do that.
Okay. Will the next study, I'm sure that these mice were offered a chow that they were allowed to eat ad lib, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Could you do a study where the foods are separated for predominant macronutrients, so to see if they, with the introduction of this modified bacteria, do they prefer a low fat or high carb or a different type of a meal plan if they, by selectivity,
right.
by having it accessible to them?
Right. Yeah. So the way that we plan to do that is in essence, what we'll probably give them is a cafeteria diet, a bunch of
so that's what those little mice that run around in Blue Boar restaurants, they're there for the cafeteria diet. Huh? Good to know. Sorry, I know Blue Boar will never advertise on this show now. So there you go. Sorry about that.
But that's exactly what you do. Is essentially you offer them two types of diet, and then give them the bacteria, and then compare that. How much they eat of each of the different types of diet to see what their preferences are. But that is one of the things that we have planned, and we think that will be very important. Because certainly, a diet that's high in junk food and such is definitely going to cause a lot more obesity than, say, a diet that's high in fruits and vegetables. But if we can somehow just change that preference a little bit, that could have a very significant impact.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because, as we said at the top of the show, there is now evidence that the foods you prefer may be driven by the desire of those foods and the little inhabitants in your gut. And we already know that if you change the way you eat, you alter the diversity of the gut bacteria. We've done that show on Bacteroidetes and what's the other group?
Firmicutes.
Yeah, Firmicutes and bacteria. So if you force yourself to eat or exclude certain foods, there's microbes that just go away or at least become dormant. They may not go away because I think they come back once you start changing your diet again. And vice versa, that you crave certain foods now, we understand, because of the bacteria. So it would be interesting to see two things. If this bacteria predisposes cravings and makes these little mice choose different foods from the cafeteria diet, but also if the benefits of this bacteria can be blunted by a diet that is predominant in a certain category of food.
Right. So maybe just to kind of talk about both of those. I mean, and so first of all, the diet that we were giving the animals was a diet that was very high in fat. It had 60% fat. And so, clearly we're giving a diet that the mice really like because of, it's so high in fat. When you first switch mice over from a standard chow diet that, you know, is fairly high in fiber and sometimes is referred to by some of my colleagues as a cardboard diet, they as soon as they're given the high fat diet, they just eat a lot right away. I mean, the first week or so, they just really gorge themselves, and then they back off and eat less. But they clearly have this preference for a diet that's high in fat. But what we didn't test was what about a diet that was high in sucrose or high in fructose or things like that. So our expectation, based on what we know about how this particular compound works, is that it should be effective in both types of diets, but we definitely need to test that. I think that's an important point. One thing I wanted to talk about in terms of the
can we take a break first and hold your thought to that?
Sure. Until
we
come, sure.
Okay, let's do this. Take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Worried about making your student loan payments? Don't worry if you're behind or even in default. We can help consolidate your student loans into one affordable monthly payment. No matter how much you owe, we can reduce your payments fast. Call 1-800-875-2104. We can fix your student loan problems guaranteed. This is a government program, no credit check. You may even qualify for the government's income-based program, which could reduce your payment to as little as $5 per month. Call 1-800-875-2104. That's 1-800-875-2104.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic, and we putting it on wax, it's the new style.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Sean Davies, talking about gut microbes. I sounded like Oprah there. Gut microbes. Everybody's chair. Look under your chair. You have gut microbes there. Okay, I had to cut you off to take the break. I apologize for that, and please continue.
Yeah, so the thing that I kind of want to talk about is the reward response for certain foods. And so we know that's an important part of obesity. So, you know, I think many people have had the experience of maybe when they feel full and they might normally stop eating, but there's, you know, a nice, I don't know, chocolate cake or something that looks to them very desirable, and they go ahead and eat it even though they feel full. And one of the reasons that we do that is that having eaten a food that's, say, very high in sugar or high, you know, in fat and stuff, there's a lot of pleasure involved with that, and that sets up a reward circuit that can kind of override some of the other satiety circuits that would normally tell us to stop eating. And so trying to hit on that mechanism is really an important part of an approach to obesity. And we don't know whether or not our bacteria will necessarily have an effect on that, but that is a very important thing, because that's probably where a lot of the extra calories that people are eating are coming from. Is it's just this they already do feel full, but they see something and they want it, and of course the way the advertising is made, it reinforces those reward circuits to increase the desirability of eating that food.
Yeah, and some of the hormones you're talking about, like cholecystokinin and other satiety hormones like leptin and stuff like that, we know that as humans we have the ability to eat right past those. And most people, you know, part of this has to do with the fact that we are mismatched for one of the aspects of our current environment, which is the constant availability of food.
Right.
You know, which is, it's really been a game changer for us, because, you know, there's that old saying, wood warms you twice, once when you cut it and once when you burn it. Well, guess what? If you had to go out and hunt for your food, you'd do two things. You would wait until you were really, 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 really hungry, which was proven by Dr. Malin Watfi in his book of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes. But more importantly, you would expend as much energy probably looking for food as you would consuming that food once you found it.
Right, right.
So that's a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, there's a number of things that have changed in our environment that probably have led to this obesity epidemic. But certainly the availability of this very highly palatable, you know, calorically dense food is probably the biggest driver of that. And then, you know, these changes in the gut bacteria are you know, driven both by those kinds of changes and other changes in our environment, so they contribute to that. But certainly, you know, this just being overwhelmed by a lot of very calorically dense food is very difficult for many people.
So what would you like to... Oh, I'm sorry, good. You had something else you wanted to finish up
with. Oh, and so I guess that's one of the, you know, in terms of our thinking, in terms of these, the bacteria that we're trying to use and any sort of strategy is, you know, some of that is just to try to give people a bit of a leg up in that environment. I mean, if we were in a situation, as you were talking about, where we all had to, you know, we're hunter-gatherers and had to work very hard for our food, of course, we wouldn't bother with these sorts of things. But given that that's not the environment that most of us are in, we're in essence, you know, trying to supplement the people's ability to resist these kind of things. And, you know, that's what we're kind of aiming for.
Yeah. What do you hope, like, clinicians take away from your research, first of all?
Well, you know, it's kind of tough because we're at the very early stages. I mean, what we can offer really is just maybe hope down the line in terms of their thinking. I mean, at the moment, we don't have a product that we can give to humans. But we certainly want them, and I hope that they've heard enough about these things that they start thinking in those terms, you know, thinking about not only just talking with people about the, you know, their diet and lifestyle, but thinking about how the gut bacteria may be playing a role in that and just educating themselves on that so that they're aware of that. But I, you know, as I said, right now, we don't have anything to necessarily offer the clinician right at the moment for people.
But obviously this is a continuation of the emerging notion that these microbes that live inside of us are somehow innocuous passengers when they're really not, and that they have a role in both health and the etiology of disease. I mean, that's the, if anything, if nothing else, we have to start taking this. I want to say someone said it's approximately 4 pounds of microbes that infest the inside of our body a little bit more seriously than, you know, this amorphous sludge of little bugs, you know.
Right, absolutely. And you know, I mean, there are different people who have shown you know, different aspects, but I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Stanley Hazen at Cleveland Clinic, but I mean, he's done some really remarkable work, you know, looking at a particular bacterial metabolite, trimethylamine.
Which yeah, the one that contributes to atherosclerosis, oxide. Right?
Right, yeah. Right. And so, you know, so there's lots of these things where I'm sure that we will find that particular metabolites are either beneficial or harmful. And, you know, one of the things is we just don't know. There's so much out there. Bacteria make hundreds of products. And, you know, each one of us has a little bit different composition, and that means that each one of us have, you know, different amounts of these metabolites that are being made. And, you know, right now there's just a lot of unknowns, and that's what's, I think, difficult is as we're trying to sort of march through and understand what's going on. And I guess one of the things that we've been thinking about in terms of our bacteria is, you know, can we use the same strategy for other things? And in particular, if we're trying to understand, say that someone identifies a metabolite that's been increased or decreased in a certain condition, to actually be able to do very tight, you know, well-controlled studies to see what is the effect of making more or less of that particular metabolite on health. I mean, does it help or does it hurt?
That's exciting to me.
Not meaningful.
That, you know, just recently, you know, at the top of the hour news during this week, we talked about some research that shows that the lack of a certain microbe presence in the fecal occult test, which is really the first line of defense for discovering colorectal cancer, shows a 50% higher predictability of the presence of colorectal cancer. So clearly, we know that the absence of certain gut microbes produce deleterious effects and issues. We also, I mean, it's just so exciting. All of it, it's really so exciting.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful in interpreting that though, because so it might be that the loss of those bacteria are contributing. It also could be that that's just an effect of something else, and so that's one of the one of the big difficulties right now is that we see changes, but what we don't know is what's cause and what's effect, because, you know, we're in this continuing symbiosis with our bacteria. So things they do, we respond to. Things that we do, they're responding to. And so that's, I think, one of the really, really big questions is, now that we're able, you know, using some of the modern technology, now that we're able to actually elaborate which bacteria are actually there and about how much, now we have to figure out, okay, which ones are driving effects and which are simply responding to other things that are happening. And that's not super easy to do. And again, that's why, you know, using things like our engineering the bacteria to do specific things that we see happening, and then ask, okay, what is the effect of that specific thing, you know, on the host? It's a very big question. It's a very exciting question, but it takes time and a lot of effort, and so we don't have all the answers, but it's clear that many important things are going on, and so it's very much worth looking at.
Dr. Davies, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Take care. All right, stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to pontificate a little bit. I want to talk about the passing of Robin Williams, but for perhaps a different reason than is being discussed out there today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The American government loves Monsanto because if Monsanto's successful, then we will control the world because we'll have control of the food.
Listen to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenoir, weekdays at noon.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Increase your strength and energy. Build that testosterone. Introducing AndroTest from Fusion Supplements. AndroTest gives you superior conversion to testosterone. This is a research-based product with cyclodextrin technology that maximizes testosterone output. AndroTest is the perfect choice to add as a stack to other pro hormones. Get a bottle of AndroTest. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad in the Carl Recommends section. Use coupon code AndroTest30.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad. Today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. I miss Nirvana. Kurt Cobain, another guy who killed himself, right? Depending on whether or not you subscribe to the conspiracy theories that his then wife, Courtney Love, lead singer of Hole, I love saying that, killed him, which I don't believe for a second. Okay, couple things, right? So we lost Robin Williams. It really affected me. I was very, very sad about it. I've always loved Robin Williams. It was very evident to me early on in his career that he was affected by another comedian who I love, which we'll leave that out for now, but that he had a manic side. For those of you who remember Robin Williams' early stand-up, he was manic. I mean, he got up there, his brain worked so fast, he would get up there and he would fire off funny things, one after the other after the other. He was frenetic. He was constantly in motion. He was exhaustive and exhausting. If you watched him long enough, you actually laughed so much you became drained. You had no time to recover because his wit, his style of humor was like a machine gun. And I would classify that type of humor as almost manic-like. Now, I posted on Facebook the other day clearly that the highs, which drove his humor, were equal in magnitude but in the opposite direction of the lows that tortured him through his depression. It's well understood that he suffered with depression for a long time. Apparently, if you read some of the news stories out there, he turned to chemicals and alcohol to try to alleviate or self-medicate. It's hard to believe that he was not on antidepressants. It's hard to believe. And you know, there's a question going all over the internet right now. Was he on antidepressants? Well, I would have to say, if I was going to bet, and I'm not a betting person, so for me to bet in the first place and wager money is a big thing in itself. But if I was going to bet, I would say, yeah, he was on antidepressants because he's well-heeled. He's in the public eye. He was probably having difficulty in his life. I'm sure he went to the best doctors. And the best doctors are going to suggest antidepressants because it's the standard of care today for people who suffer from clinical depression, which he did. So I have to say, based on that, that he was on antidepressants. Let's start there. One of the known side effects of antidepressants is suicidal thoughts. Everybody's saying, you know, Robin Williams' death calls for a reinvestigation the way we treat depression. That's true. It does. It absolutely does. But more importantly, it calls for scrutiny of the company that manufactured his antidepressant. There's a lot of people out there who commit suicide who are on antidepressants that we will never hear about because they're not well known. They're not significant to the public. They're not out in the public eye. They haven't touched, you know, tens of thousands, if not millions of lives like Robin Williams did.
But his death really is, in my opinion, a red flag for antidepressants, which we know cause suicidal thoughts. It's one of the side effects listed on the box, approved by the FDA in their constant instincts to protect the American people, to allow drugs to be used on people who are already having emotional problems that cause emotional problems. Not to mention the fact that is well known within the psychology industry amongst doctors who will not stay lockstep with the pharmaceutical agenda, that some 50, 60, 70% of the people who take antidepressants are not helped by them, but in fact, it causes other problems that distract from the original problem. I'll give you, for instance, early on when my sister was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, they didn't think it was Parkinson's. They said, oh, you're depressed. So they put her on a couple antidepressants. By the way, both of them, side effects were that they cause neuromuscular damage and tremor. And if you have tremor, you shouldn't take them. But these doctors in their divine wisdom put her on them because she was complaining of tremor. Another story. But the bottom point, the point here is that the antidepressants did not work for her. In fact, they probably sped her disease along. So then she had to take other drugs to cover up what the antidepressants were doing to her. This is the standard of care today for people who suffer from depression. This is sad to me, okay? This is just another atrocity that the FDA condones to allow companies to make billions of dollars from us, the American people, the population that the FDA is supposed to protect. We are exploited instead. So another a little bit of information is that we've been doing some research on some of these shooters, these young kids who are shooting people at schools, and how many of them are on antidepressants, or how many of their mothers were on antidepressants when they were pregnant with them. This is another interesting aspect of this drug. I guess the point that I want to make is this. If anything, people should be outraged that antidepressants are being used to treat people who are depressed when the known side effects are suicidal tendencies. These people are already standing at the precipice, looking into the abyss, and they're coming to doctors and saying, I need your help, and the doctor is giving them a drug that will quote-unquote numb them to life and quite possibly contribute to their desire to do away with themselves. These people already feel hopeless. These drugs make them feel even more hopeless. These drugs, they squash all desire for life and for living. They make you numb. They make you a zombie. They're disgusting drugs, and there is no proof that they work. So for those of you who miss Robin Williams, and he will be missed, we really need to start to think about and talk more to friends of ours who are on antidepressants. You can't get off of them easily either. You have to really titrate them for a long time because the brain becomes dependent on them, which is another scary thought. They are addictive. I had a pharmacist tell me that antidepressants are not addictive. I said, they are, absolutely. Can you stop taking them? Can you just stop? Well, of course not, because that'll push you into suicide even faster. They are physically addictive, but they're not treated as such. But we really need to start rethinking the way we treat major depressive disorders. There are lots better ways to treat major depressive disorders. And maybe there are some people out there who nothing is going to work, and an antidepressant should be the last tool that a physician goes to. Because it just doesn't make sense to give a person a drug who's already depressed, that side effect is suicide. I mean, you know what? The fact that we're even having this discussion now nauseates me. And it's just evidence that the Food and Drug Administration is either corrupt or inept, and neither of those are acceptable for an agency that is supposed to be the firewall to protect American people. I think that we should be calling for Margaret Hamburg's resignation, a complete dismantling of the FDA, and the restructuring of a new organization that has a totally different relationship with the industries that it provides oversight to. You know, Robin Williams is just one person, but he represents millions of silent, unknown people who commit suicide while taking antidepressants out there. This is a very, very sad situation, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. Okay, tomorrow is Friday, which means I'm joined in the studio by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo as we perform Casual Friday. Thank you for listening today, and I will see you tomorrow.